In 1971, President Nixon declared drug abuse America's public enemy number one. Well, the war against drug abuse is changing, and this week we're looking at one Seattle program on the front lines. We'll start with one man who is in it. There was an exact moment when Jeremy Bradford knew his life was unraveling. It was the first time he tried crack. But drugs for him weren't always that way.
I don't want to glamorize how my addiction started. But it was, you know, it was a sniff here, it was a bump there, you know. A lot of people use to hide the pain, to get away from something. I'm the party guy, you know. I've always been the life of the party.
But Jeremy was a party guy who had a successful job opening stores at Nordstrom's, a successful U.S. Marine who zoomed through the ranks. That's what the first 30 years of Jeremy Bradford's life were like. But then he traded in cocaine for crack, and it was only a matter of months before he lost his job, his red sports car, and his condo on the east side.
I found myself doing things that I never would have done.
Things that got him arrested dozens of times. And that became his life. In and out of jail, parking lot hustles and drugs, until he met a guy named Joker.
Officer Joker. If it wouldn't have been for him, I wouldn't have been in the LEAD program.
The LEAD program, or Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion, is really one of a kind. It gives Seattle cops the ability to get low-level offenders help instead of jail. Jeremy Bradford was skeptical when Officer Joker first described it.
I said, well, what is it? He's like, well, basically, it's going to be a program where when you get in, you're going to have instant access to getting housing, getting treatment if you want it, getting legal help if you have legal issues. And I'm like, really? And I said, instant? And he goes, well, you know, not instant, but you're going to have a caseworker that they're going to be able to push your name pretty much to the top of the list of getting services.
You said treatment if you want it. So this isn't about we're going to put you into rehab and treat you.
Right. And that was the key. That was a major, major part of it, because I've been forced to go to I've been in three different inpatient programs, outpatient programs. And if you didn't pee clean, then, you know, you're going to be sanctioned and you're going to have to, you know, if it happens two times, you're going to go back to jail for 2 days. And I didn't want any part of that.
So when Officer Joker was explaining these things, what was going through your mind as he's ticking through? Here's our new program.
Same, yeah, whatever. Same story. I don't want to hear it. You know, okay. At first I thought, yeah, it'd be cool. But you know what? Hey, man, I'll think about it. And then a couple days later, I was, I just got through using. And I still had money and I still had dope. And I was sitting there by myself. And I'm looking around where I was at, and I'm like, man, I really don't want to be doing this. And the LEAD car, it's the police van, and they come in, and they were like, okay, just don't start running. We're not gonna arrest you. He goes, but I need your ID. And he showed me, and he goes, and I said, is this the LEAD thing? And I go, yeah. And he goes, hey, you're Jeremy, right? And I go, yeah. I goes, Joker told me you were interested. Well, at the time when the program first started, you had to be caught with something. And I had threw all my stuff away. As soon as I saw the cops, I threw it, stashed it. And I was sitting there with the girl that I call my sister. She's not my sister. And I'm thinking, I looked over and I said, you know what? I think I'm done. And she goes, well, she got warrants. Yeah, warrants. I go, no, I think I'm done. I think I'm gonna go ahead and do that. Remember that program I was telling you about? I said, these guys are with it. She's like, man, I don't trust it. And so I'm like, no, I think I'm gonna do it. So I said, so what do you need, man? And he's like, this is not how it is now. He's like, well, you're supposed to be you have to have something that we can arrest you on. I'm like, hold on. So I went back in, I'm digging in the bushes and find my pipe. And I go, okay, here. And I just bought the pipe, too, you know. And I'm like, here, man. And he goes, okay. And so he put the can cups on me. And this is kind of ironic because this was between Western Elliott and Blanchard. And he took me straight up Blanchard, yep, all the way to West Precinct. And I was there for 15 minutes, and Tim Condella came in. until the hand comes off.
And that's the social worker.
Yeah, the social worker. And he said, listen, we're going to walk down to my office. And we walked all the way back down to 3rd and Blanchard. I was not 2 blocks away from where I started. And he said, I'm gonna help you as much as I can, but I'm not going to do this for you. If you want to get in this program, you're in it now. But you're only going to get what you put into it. And I'm like, okay, so what do I got to do now? He goes, you're done.
That's it?
We'll meet up with you on Monday. And so I walked out, and I was 2 blocks away. So I went back down to go try to go get high again. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm in the program. He's like, you're back. And I'm like, yeah, let's go get high.
I'm talking to Jeremy Bradford, who's the 3rd participant in Seattle's LEAD program. It stands for Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion. You said that right after you met with the social worker, you went down and got high. It's not required to not use drugs to be part of LEAD. Do you use drugs right now?
No. I haven't used drugs for over 250 days.
250 days. Good for you.
254, I believe.
Okay. Over 250 days. It was your decision to stop then.
Yes. I have to give credit where credit's due. The LEAD program is a tool. But to get clean and sober, it takes more than one program. It takes a solid support system.
You know, I'm thinking we're talking that a lot of people might be listening and they're like, okay, 254 days clean and sober now. There's this guy who's telling us a story, but there's that label, drug addict, even if you're a former drug addict. It's sort of like...
And I don't mind.
You don't mind that?
You know why? Because that's my past. You know, I've got a lot of battles to fight from now until the time I die. But those battles are in front of me. And they're not behind me. If I'm constantly looking behind me, then you know what? How am I going to get to where I want to... Where I want to get forward. There's, you know, I'm a father now. I think about things that I say to ladies, because if I can't say anything to a girl that I wouldn't say to my daughter, then I shouldn't be saying it.
What role does this little girl play in the goals that you have?
Well, her name's Neve.
Neve?
Heaven spelled backwards. She's my piece of heaven. She's, you know, one of the things that you learn in this recovery is I can't do this for anybody else. I have to do it for myself. If I can't take care of myself, I'm not going to be able to take care of anybody else. But once I start taking care of myself, there's just so many more things that I want to do.
How sure are you about the path you're on now and that you'll stay on it?
I know that I know nothing.
You know that you know nothing.
And that I have to take advice and I have to stay humble. And I hate it when people say I'm being humble, because if you're saying that, then you're not. But what I mean by that is I know there's a lot of I've made a lot of mistakes. I know there's a lot of things that I don't know. So I'm not going to act like I do. I'm going to have to ask for help. If I have more than a half an hour free time during a day, I stop and I go somewhere that's safe and I plan what I'm going to do. I don't let myself go to places where I used to go. I don't hang around the people that I used to hang around. If in doubt, I call somebody and ask for help. Hey, what are you doing? Until I've only got 15 minutes to where if I see something, hey, gotta go, I'm busy. I have to keep my feet moving. And it's not going to be like that forever. But for this season, it is. And I'm okay with that because I've got dreams again. My mom told me when I was young, you can do anything you want. And I can't remember a time I've seen my mom fail if she puts her heart to it. In my addiction, I've been around a lot of people that they just didn't have the parenting. I didn't have an excuse. I had the family, I had the opportunities, I had the schooling, I had the support. You know, I lost my mind for a while.
That's Jeremy Bradford. He's participating in a drug treatment program called Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion, or LEAD. Chad Winfrey is a LEAD officer with the Washington State Department of Corrections. He told KUOW's Marcy Silman that he sees enforcement-assisted diversion participants every day on his regular patrols. One of them is a woman he's known for years.
I used to be her parole officer a long time ago, so I'm very familiar with her. She is HIV positive and has a serious drug problem, and she's always had issues with her kids and mental health issues. So she has a lot going on, and she used to be a big part of the downtown scene. And if she was down there because of all the stuff she had going on, then trouble was probably pretty close.
Where might you spot her if you were on the streets?
Pike and Pine Corridor, in the alleyways. It just depends on what she's up to that day.
When was the last time you saw her? When was the most recent time?
3 weeks ago in the not doing very well, and then about a week ago when it was kind of a wave and a smile.
Did you take her in the not very good time?
No, not that day. It was her kids, and it was her HIV she was having a hard time with that day. But she was very manic, out in a place that she should never have been, and so I just warned her that in the spirit of not getting a new drug arrest, let's go somewhere else.
Why was she, for example, ripe for this program?
She's downtown all the time. She's one of those that you kind of put into, for lack of a better term, it's kind of put up or shut up. If I've had these services, if I had this, if I only had this, well, here you go, honey. We're going to hook you up with it. We're going to monitor you. We're going to get you hooked up with all of those services. And I'm also kind of at a big brother level going to hold you accountable because I know you very well. So if you're downtown in the alleyways doing things you're not supposed to be doing, creating a nuisance for people just trying to walk around and have a good time, then we're going to address it. We're going to ask you how you've been participating in the LEAD program, and we may give you a transport to your LEAD case manager at that time.
I'm curious, are there some people on the streets that you know the LEAD is not going to help them and they are rejected just?
Oh, yeah.
And so what makes somebody qualified and somebody that you just know it won't work?
You can tell just by talking to them. It's kind of sobriety, right? I mean, it's hard for people, unless they're ready, they're not going to get sober. There's kind of three categories. There's I'm not going to, I'm very ready, and then there's the people in the middle that are going to try to engage in it, but there's going to be relapses along the way, which is most of them.
Chad Winfrey, part of the LEAD program in downtown Seattle. Someday you may see him in a van on the streets of downtown Seattle. As I understand it, when the LEAD program first started a few years ago, officers had to have a reason to arrest somebody before they could approach and offer the program. Now, this arrest is not part of it, right?
There's arrest referrals, and then there's social referrals. There could be someone down there. It could be somebody that you've cultivated a relationship with over the years, and back to that kind of put up or shut up. Okay, we're going to try to help you out. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to create the environment where, well, you have to go use drugs, then I'll arrest you and get you on the program. So this way we can proactively help them out before they get to that point.
When you approach somebody for the first time and describe LEAD, what do you tell them?
We just did one, actually, after I got off the phone with you guys yesterday, we just did one not a half an hour afterwards, because we get a lot of stories. This was a guy who's not hurting anybody but himself, and he's really respectful, and we know him a little bit. I don't know him by name, but we've talked to him here and there, maybe every other month, and we see him around downtown. So his attitude was good enough, and he had a lot of things going on that I felt comfortable kind of doing the social referral all together at that one time. We just explained the program. It's a way to kind of get the help that you need. Eventually, it could lead to housing. It's not a housing program. We're always, because everybody wants to come up. There's a lot of people coming up to us wanting to get into the program for housing. So it's not about housing. That could be the end result, but there's a lot of stuff that you have to address in the meantime. So he was a good candidate for that.
What do you do if somebody's very resistant to the idea of the program?
I'm not in the business of trying to help people that aren't trying to help themselves. So,
if the main goal of you and your fellow officers is to make the streets safe for citizens who aren't the bad guys, to use your word, how does LEAD help you with that?
It's another tool. I mean, definitely. The beauty of LEAD is that we have prosecuting attorneys, defense attorneys, case managers, police officers, all working together, all talking, everybody on the same page. So we have an incredible amount of street intel on the people that we're out there talking to. And the other thing that the people don't realize is that we all talk.
You know, there used to be that term community policing that was tossed around several police chiefs ago in Seattle. And it strikes me that this is at least, if not community policing with a big C and a P, what was the intent behind it, isn't it? Because you're knowing the people that you work with.
I think it was to stop sending low-level drug offenders to prison and then letting them out back in the same street. I mean, there was this crazy cycle that nothing, you know, it was just very punitive and nothing was changing. It was really to combat that. And to do it moving forward with everybody on the same page. I mean, like I said, you can't imagine prosecuting attorneys until you've been to one of these meetings. Prosecuting attorneys sitting next to defense attorneys, police officers. I mean, everybody from every gamut of the social service system and the criminal justice system that normally never talk. Everybody's in there on the same page moving forward trying to make these guys better.
Chad Winfrey works for the Washington State Department of Corrections. He's an officer with the Drug Offender Diversion Program. It's called LEAD. He was talking to KUOW's Marcy Silman. This is The Record.